Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord. And we pray, O God, that you will unveil your name as the shepherd to us, Father. Yahweh Rohai, Father. This covenant name, Father, that is the basis in which, O God, we will live, move, and have our being in you. So that we will truly, O God, be alive to you at all times, in every situation and every circumstance. That we will be alive to you in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. That we will be alive to you, O God, at the speed of thought, Father. At the speed of intent, attitude, desire, and imagination. At the speed of object and purpose, Father. At the speed of will and emotion. In our character, in our nature, and our personalities, we pray that we will be alive to you continually. That, Lord, you will direct our pathways, O God. That, Lord, you will truly lay the milestones in which, O God, you will declare, O God, that you are Ebenezer, the one who has helped us thus far. So we pray, Lord, that as we grow in you, Father, as you lead us, O God, these milestones, O God, will form the altars of our heart, Father, living stones, Father, built into an altar that will truly glorify you and magnify you, Father. So bless this time, Lord, and open the revelation of you being our shepherd, Father, so that we will enter the reality of having an abundance, Father, of having no lack, O God, of having no want, O God, that we will discover that you are a God who means to provide in abundance, because you mean for each one of us to be a continual and growing blessing, Father, that the purpose in which you give us an abundance is so that we in turn can release that abundance through the lives that we live, through the witness that we proclaim, Father. So bless us, O God, in the witness. Teach us, O God, that witness is the means by which you will unveil your Son in us, O God, and manifest, O God, the riches that you have invested in his name, in us and through us, Father, in everything that we become, in everything that we do, Father, in thought, word, and in deed. Release the revelation into our hearts. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 10. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. The Good Shepherd, Yahweh Rohai, being manifested to us in Christ Jesus. How? In two realities that Jesus describes here. He says in verse 14, I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. So the first reality of the shepherd in our lives is defined in a knowing. The second reality of the shepherd is in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Praise the Lord. So God means for us to be shepherded in an intimacy of knowing and being able to hear the voice of the Lord. Of being able to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, what is the voice of the Lord? So often in Christianity, we have thought that the voice of the Lord is the still, quiet voice that we hear in our inward parts. Yes, that is true. That is part of the truth. But there's more to the voice of God than just hearing a quiet voice, right? Because the voice of the Lord comes to us in a reality that the Bible speaks to us as abundant waters. Let's turn to the prophets, Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24. I also heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty. Like the voice of the Almighty. Abundant waters, right? So God is talking about waters of life that are pregnant with life, pregnant with an abundance that God wants to manifest. And they are a reality that is the voice of the Almighty. So this reality of the voice of the Almighty is brought to us through Jesus Christ. Let's hear that from Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 12 to 15. John is on the island of Patmos and he hears a loud voice behind him. And I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, verse 12. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. So we hear that the voice of the Almighty is translated to us through the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ is many waters. Right? Many waters. All right. Many waters. What does water represent in the Word of God? Let's turn to Ezekiel. No, not to Ezekiel. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 26. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. And the Greek word for word there is rhema. So water, abundant waters, many waters, is rhema. The quickened word of God. The quickened word of God. The voice of the Lord. The witness of God. The testimony of God being brought to us on an online basis. And the voice of God is abundant. It is full of life. There are so many potentials in the voice of God. All right? So Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. They hear my voice because they know me. All right? So all this comes to us through the Rhema word. What is the Rhema word? All right? Let's turn to John chapter 6. Verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The rhema that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Spoken, but they are spirit and they are life. Amen. So the rhema of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, is always present. It is the voice that is manifested in His Spirit and His life. It is alive. It is that voice that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is talking about to us. But that voice comes through a knowing. That knowing is a heart reality. That knowing is a heart reality. So let's go to this word knowing first, all right? You see, you can only hear the voice of the Lord as you come to know Him, right? First the knowing, then the voice, all right? Otherwise, you will not be able to tell the difference. If we just go by saying that if it's a still, quiet voice, it is God talking to us, you must understand that the devil can duplicate it too. Don't think that the devil can't speak in a quiet voice, right? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's not difficult to duplicate a quiet voice. So we need to understand that first you must know there has to be an intimacy built inside of you. So how did God propose to build this intimacy? He proposes to build this intimacy through the word that He manifests inside of you. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. We've done all these verses. We are seeing them in a different light. But all of these verses, you see, have got many waters. You see, you can see the flow of the word in many different contexts. When you see it in the way in which God wants you to understand them, right? They open to you different realities, right? And when you lay the Word of God with God as the context and Jesus as the expression of the Word, you will begin to see that the Word of God is really opens to you in many different thought patterns. And each one of these thought patterns is like a stream of life. It is like, in fact, the potential of a river of life. And so when you begin to see that, you realize that God's word is not like man's word. When we write things, right, we normally mean one thing, and that's all we can do. That's how we write. But when God writes His word, He means many different things. It is how the Spirit of the Lord leads you to see the word laid down with God as the context, with God as the source, and Jesus as the means by which you understand what God is doing. And the moment you do that, you begin to see that the word of God is an abundance. It is amazing. It is not like the word written by men. And this is what sets the word of God apart from anything that you and I can write. And this is very important, that the word of God opens to us in an amazing array of realities. All right? So what is this knowing? Verse 31. Jeremiah 31 verse 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. What is the covenant that God wants to establish in the scriptures? Ultimately, the covenant that God is interested in manifesting in the scriptures is a marriage covenant. What is the highest point of the scriptures in the whole of the Bible? It is the reality of a people coming to become a bride for the Lamb. It is a reality of a people being betrothed to God. Let me just look at a few verses for you to understand this, right? Let's turn first to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. Are you with me? So God means to be a husband to us. And He says, your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. All right. So God is talking about a covenant in this high context. This is what He ultimately wants to fashion and form. A covenant that is manifested in a marriage, right? A knowing that unveils in a marriage, right? That the two will become one flesh. Two hearts will become one. That's what God is trying to bring forth, right? Through his word. Let's turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea, one of the minor prophets, after the book of Daniel. Right, Hosea chapter 2. Verse 18. He begins verse 18 with these words. In that day, I will also make a covenant for them. Verse 9. And I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. Then you will know the Lord. Are you with me? Then you will know the Lord. So God is talking about an intimacy, right? First the intimacy, then the voice. So the voice is a function of the intimacy. The ability to hear and discern and understand what God is doing in your life is a result of the intimacy that you are growing into in your relationship with the Lord. And that intimacy is defined as God's law. You shall love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. You cannot love someone you don't know. Knowing and loving someone is not just simply, oh, I'm going to love someone, right? I'm going to love God. No, it has to be tangible. It has to be real. It has to be an evidence. The Lord your God has to be an evidence in your heart, and He must be a reality in your life for you to be able to love Him. This is not a make-believe thing, right? To love God, you have to know Him, right? You cannot simply say, I just believe, right? You know, we just make a creedal statement, I believe in one God. That's very nice. Right? But that doesn't get you very far. God wants you to know Him, and God wants you to know Him in an intimacy so that you will be able to function in Him. All right? So the shepherd, the reality of God being your shepherd, is the reality of God bringing you into an intimacy where you know God, and ultimately to teach you how to realize from God what He wants to bring forth in your life. And that's the purpose of the covenant name, Yahweh Rohai. I am who I am. I am your shepherd. And God wants you to come into an intimacy of knowing Him. You realize how important it is to know Him, because if you don't know Him, you can't possibly love Him. Right? And if you don't love Him, you can't possibly obey Him. You're not going to obey someone unless you really love them. Right? You can't obey someone as if it's laid down by law. Right? It won't work. It has to be something that is built in a relationship. This person means to you so much that you want to obey him. That this realization of God is so important and so crucial to your life that he becomes the be-all and end-all of your life. That's the only way in which you're going to obey God. To try and obey God by just forcing yourself, you will do it for one day, you will do it for 5 days, and then you will give it up. You cannot be sustained. For something to be sustained, right? For something to be sustained, it has to be built into a relationship. It has to be manifested in terms of a covenant. When God talks covenant, He talks eternal covenant. When God talks covenant, He talks oath. His oath. He has sworn a reality, and the reality of what He has sworn has become a covenant in your heart. It has become a realized reality inside of you, and you can live by it. You can live by it. All right. So this intimacy of knowing the Lord is very crucial. If you don't know God, you're not going to be able to hear Him. Because the more you love Him, the more clearly will you be able to discern and understand what He is saying. More clearly will you desire His will. Right? More dearly will you desire His presence. Right? As the psalmist writes, "As the deer panteth after the water brook, so does my soul panteth after thee, O God." Right? See, that is the only means by which we can actually function in God. That there is such a desire in our hearts to want to belong to God, want to obey Him, want to be part and parcel of everything that He is doing. That we want to get into it, right? It has to be something manifested in our own free will. Nothing will work in our lives unless our free will wants it. You can't lay things down by law and say it's going to work. It won't work. It has to be built on relationship. So God says the shepherd is there to lead you into a relationship. He is there to build that relationship so that you will be able to hear His voice clearly. You will be able to understand His voice as it applies to your life. Because Jesus is different to all of us. In each one of our lives, He has come alive to us through different situations, different circumstances. He has worked with the peculiarities of our own nature, our own idiosyncrasies, our own peculiar habits, right? So in that whole process, He's worked a unique relationship in each one of our lives, and He's continuing to do so. The Bible actually says that He is the author and finisher of our faith, which means to say that everything is being worked in our lives. He is the apostle and high priest of our confession. So what does that tell you? That He is endeavoring to build a relationship with us in an intimacy that we don't actually quite understand right now. Right? We are still floundering around and making some headway. But you know, generally speaking, we really don't understand what God really is doing with us. No? The Bible says that Jesus ever lives to intercede for us. You know, we can't appreciate things like that. You know, we can read it, but to really understand what does it mean to intercede for me all the time. Right? So you see, he is doing something with us to bring us into a knowing in which He will then be able to lead us and direct our pathways. You see, without the relationship, the doing is not going to happen. Are you with me? So it is very important that's why God based His entire system on you must love me. You have to love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You need to love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you don't do that, my children, you will not survive. God doesn't need our love. Right? But He desires our love. Right? And the reason is so that we can live by Him. And He's saying, you will not be able to live by me unless you can love me. Right? Because I am God. And as God, I must understand that you must obey me. More importantly, you must be able to obey me. And God is just simply telling you, if you love me, you will be able to obey me. If you don't love me, you are not going to obey me. So it's very important for you to understand what is being said in John chapter 10. Let's turn to that very quickly. Jesus says something here that is very dramatic, right? John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. What is he saying? That you and I, that his knowing us and we knowing him is the same degree to which the Father knows him and he knows the Father. Can you catch that? And if you look at his life and his testimony, you will understand that he could hear the Father perfectly. As a 12-year-old kid, he knew what God wanted him to do. Right? So you need to understand that he knew the Father in an intimacy. And he's saying that this same kind of intimacy is how you and I are going to function in. Right? Praise the Lord. And this is what the shepherd is trying to bring forth. This intimacy. Amen? Intimacy. Because without this intimacy, the Christian faith will not work. Without this intimacy, the Christian faith will not work. You're not going to be a Christian for very long if you don't love God. If you don't come to appreciate God's love. Because if you try to do it as a set of rules and regulations, you will fail. It's already been proven. Right? Moses lost his temper. Elijah got frightened. John the Baptist is in jail and he asks, "Are you the Christ?" What happened? Right? You need to understand something else. God has to do a work inside of us that is entirely a sovereign work. So God says, "I will give you a new covenant, not by law, but a covenant that will be a manifestation of the fulfillment of the law. I will do what you cannot do." And that's the key to the new covenant. That's the key to what this Christian faith is talking about, right? Which is why in my heart, you know, it's always trying to teach people how to live by your God. Because once you have learned that, you will always grow. No matter where you go, no matter what situation you are in, you will be able to find your bearings. Because if you know how to lock on to the Lord your God, you will always have him alive to you. And he will be able to direct your pathways. So let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, days are coming. Chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. God is saying, in the old covenant I was a husband to you, but you refused to be a wife to me. You refused to trust me. You refused to hear what I was saying. You insisted on doing things your own way. I did miracles in your midst that nobody has ever seen before. I fed you for 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes did not wear off. Your shoes did not wear off. I provided you with water and food in a place where there was no water and there was no food. And I provided for 2.5 million people. Just imagine that. Every day they saw God feed them supernaturally. And yet they could not keep his law. Something different had to be done. Right? God was willing to be a husband. God was faithful. God was willing to forgive them over and over and over and over again. If you read the Old Testament, you will find that God repeatedly kept forgiving his people. Every time they turned back, he forgave them and he blessed them. But in the long run, it did not work. Something different was needed. So God comes to us in the new covenant, and this is what he's trying to tell us. So the prophet Jeremiah writes this down, verse 33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them. Right? And you must understand that when He puts His law within us, He's going to put it in fulfilled terms. Right? Because in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, God tells Jeremiah, I'm watching over my word to perform it. So when God says, I will put my law into your heart, He's going to perform that law in your heart. He's going to bring it into fulfillment in your heart. He's going to do something that you and I cannot do. He's going to do something with us that is entirely supernatural. He's going to do something with us which we are helpless, and we do not have the nature and the character to receive and realize in ourselves. So He says, I will give you a new covenant, and I will put my laws within them, and on their heart I will write it. Now you must understand, when God starts doing these things, He's going to do it in fulfilled terms. What is the fulfillment of the law? The fulfillment of the law is the nature and character of Jesus Christ. The law says, thou shalt not steal. The nature and character of Jesus says, I will never steal. You can put me on a cross, I will never steal. I will never lie. You can put me on a cross, you can tear my back, you can whip me, you can spit on me, I will not hate you. But I will still continue to love you and to forgive you. That is the fulfillment of the law. The fulfillment of the law is to have a faith that never shakes. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of the law is to have a heart that is entirely dedicated in holiness unto God. And that is what you find in the heart of Jesus. So in Romans chapter 1 verses 3 and 4, it is said that Jesus was raised from the dead and declared to be the Son of God because His Spirit was the Spirit of holiness. And this is what you must understand. So when God talks to us in terms of writing the law into our hearts, He's talking about bringing into our hearts something that is entirely 100% His workmanship. Right? This is why when Moses received the tablets of the testimony on Mount Sinai, God said, these are the tablets that are written upon by the finger of God. Exodus chapter 31 verse 18. And then in Exodus chapter 32 verse 15 and 16, He says, these tablets are the work of God. And the writing on these tablets are the writing of God. So the tablets had nothing to do with the Moses. It had nothing to do with the righteousness of Moses. The tablets were 100% the work of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3, Paul writes that you and I are the letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. Are you listening? Now the human hearts of flesh, that heart of flesh, is the word that God works into you and makes alive into you. The word that God brings into you in fulfillment. Part of that word is the law. Two tablets, one's representing the law, the other representing the prophets. Are you with me? So God says in Jeremiah 31, this is what I plan to do. I plan to do a work inside of you, a work that you would have never done in your own ability. Why is God intending to do such a work with us? So that we will bow down and appreciate that every change in our life is because God has persevered with us. We have changed not because we are good guys. We are changed because God is good. If you are reading the Bible and you are enjoying your Christian life and you are praying and you are ministering to people, it is all a work of God. It is not because you paid a price, but because God has worked the miracle in your life. He has done what you would have never been able to do in your own strength. And this is what the new covenant is all about. God teaching us how to live by Him. And in the process of teaching us how to live by Him, how to receive from Him and realize from Him, God is bringing into you an actual intimacy with Him. He's teaching you and telling you who He is. He's teaching you and telling you through the actual things He's manifesting in your life, through the actual changes He's bringing into your character, into your nature, into your lifestyle, how you live, how you think, how you act. See, once you come into the Lord Jesus Christ, 100% of your past life has to change, brother. There's nothing of the past you can keep. Absolutely nothing. Everything has to change. The way you have been living, the way you have been speaking, the way you have been thinking, the way you have been acting, the way you have been relating, the way you have been doing anything and everything. Every aspect of your behavior, your nature, your character, everything has to change. You have to understand that, because everything is going to be brand new. Because once you come into the kingdom of God, the blueprint is the Son of Man. So God is in the business of making us in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. So you cannot bring the same ways of living your life and say, I'm going to live it now using the name of Jesus. That's not what it's about. It's about realizing an entirely new lifestyle in the name of Jesus. Learning how to do everything, anything and everything in the name of Jesus. Learning how to bring up your children as if Jesus was doing that through you. Everything has to change. Are you listening? Right? You have to spend that time to allow God to make those changes in your life. I don't mean you go and sit under a banana tree and meditate your life away. What I mean is you must understand in principle that everything in your life is going to change. It may be a little scary, but it's not scary to me. I'm really waiting for this kind of thing to happen, because I really want to live a different life. I want to think differently, I want to act differently, I want to behave differently, I want to desire different things. I do not want to desire to be a cunning, selfish sort of a person. I want to be an honest person, a good person. I want to be a blessing, I don't want to be a curse. It's not just about me, it's about who can be touched through my life. Right? I want to be like Jesus. If I'm going to be like Jesus, then He has to be worked into me. His fullness has to be worked into me. And that's what God is talking about. That heart of flesh is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. It is of His character. It is of His nature. It is of His faith. It is of His love. It is of His thinking. It is of His personality. It is of His witness and His testimony. It will manifest in characteristics of His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding, His counsels, His strength, His courage. Right? In the reality of His relationship with the Father. How He related to God is how we are going to relate to God. Everything is going to come out of Jesus Christ. It is not going to reflect you and me. It's going to reflect Jesus in you and me. The fulfillment of the law is to live Jesus in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, that's what we must understand. That's where God is moving us towards. Because corruption cannot inherit incorruption. All corruption will die. It has to die. All that is of the flesh has to die. But all that is of the spirit and life of Jesus, it will continue to live and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow forever. And in that realization, you will be blessed and 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 you will become a blessing and you will become a blessing forever and forever and forever. It's an expansive growth process. It's a limitless growth process. But you must understand, you must allow God to do the work. He has to write His word into your heart. If you keep applying your intellect to the word of God, all you will understand is what is of your intellect. But the word of God is not of your intellect, it is not of my intellect. It is of the intellect of the living God. When God says love and I say love, it's a totally different word, guys. When God says wisdom and I say wisdom and you say wisdom, the words may sound the same, but they do not mean the same. Right? That's why in Isaiah chapter 55 verses 8 onwards, God says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth are, so different are my thoughts from your thoughts. So different are my ways from your ways. So what is God saying? What I'm talking to you is not of your reality, it is of my reality. And I want to bring that reality of what I am talking about inside of you. And when I bring that reality of what I am talking about inside of you, it will change you. It will enable you to do what you cannot do. And this is what the voice of God is all about, bringing into you, right, that which is not of yourself. So that voice of the Lord is, Jesus says, it is my spirit and my life. Amen. So if you and I receive the spirit and life of Jesus, we will come to know him, right? Are you with me? And as the knowing comes, the voice will increase. The intensity of the understanding of God's words will increase inside of us. Amen. And we will be changed. We will become a new creation. Are you with me? It's so important to understand this, guys. Because we must understand that our mediocrity does not work. No matter how intelligent and how talented we are, the things that are of our own ability are passing away. We can see it. Don't be stubborn and hold on to your own foolish ways. You will die with your ways. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, God actually tells the children of Israel, why do you choose to die? Here I am trying to save you. Why do you choose to die? You can almost see God crying through those verses. Why do you choose to die? I am prepared to forgive you. I am prepared to work with you. I am prepared to work in you. Why do you choose to die? Hello, our lives have already taught us that our ways don't work. Your father's ways did not work. Your ways don't work. Don't teach your sons your ways, because they will also find out that their ways don't work. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. And that is an absolute statement. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. Amen. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 10 it says that he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself, has the witness, not a witness, has the witness in himself. That witness of a newness, that witness of a different life, that witness that knows God. That witness that knows God, that witness that God is building so that his sons will know him. All right, so let's look at this verse again. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. Amen. Are you listening? From the least of us to the greatest of us, we will all know the Lord. But you must understand that the basis of this knowing is for God to write the word into your heart. Praise the Lord. The Lord has to write the word into your heart. We have to understand that this is the way in which God teaches us. We cannot bring learning systems that are of this world and think that God teaches us by those learning systems. He may work through that because he's got no choice. But that is not going to be his eternal method of talking to you. That is not going to be the basis on which he is going to teach you in the long run. He has to write his word into your heart. You have to receive that word that comes to you as rhema. Amen. So in John 6:63, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. How do we connect with the Holy Spirit? The easiest way to connect with the Holy Spirit is when you speak in tongues. The easiest way to connect with the Holy Spirit is when you speak in tongues. Amen? And what is the purpose of speaking in tongues? The prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 28, I'm repeating things that I've taught before, but let's go through it, right? Isaiah chapter 28. Verse 9. To whom would he teach knowledge? And to whom would he interpret the message? Two realities in which God speaks to us, in knowledge and through a message. When you operate the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all of that involves a message. The spontaneous word that comes to you at that point in time. The word that God gives you in order to facilitate a miracle. The word that God gives you in order for you to speak the word in season into somebody's life. The word that God gives you in season in order to tell you something about somebody that is a stronghold in that person's life. Or the word that God gives you spontaneously in order to facilitate a manifestation of faith so that the miracle will take place. Are you with me? That is the message. All right? And the message has its place in our lives. The message has its place in our lives when we function. When we function online with God to do what He wants us to do in ministry. When you minister to people. But knowledge is the abiding reality of the voice of God. That which He builds inside of you and He fashions inside of you so that everything inside of you is laid in the knowledge of God. So He says, to whom would He teach knowledge and to whom would He interpret the message? Sometimes messages come to you as visions. And when you see the vision, God is trying to tell you something so that you will understand something as you're praying or as you're ministering to somebody, right? But knowledge is that which is built into you. Knowledge builds everything into you. It's like building the frameworks of your creation. It is like building you into a new being. And that knowledge comes to you, as this verse says in verse 10, order on order, line on line, a little here, a little there. Indeed, He will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Amen. So what is He speaking into you? He's speaking into you through Rhema. But He's speaking to you Rhema in the way in which He wants to speak to you, simply because if He speaks to you in your understanding, all you will understand is what you understand. You understand what I'm saying? If God speaks to you in English, you will always understand it in the English you understand. So He sidesteps that because that's not what He's trying to tell you. Like I said, if God says I love you and I say I love you, it's two different worlds. Right? We may be saying the same words, but the meaning inside of those words is totally different. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So, in order to sidestep our super intelligence, in order to sidestep our thinking that we understand all things, God speaks to us in a way in which our understanding and our intellect will not get in the way. And He manifests it as Rhema, but He manifests it in the spirit and life of Jesus in a form, in a word form that is unintelligible to your intellect. But what is He connecting inside of you? He's connecting inside of you His spirit and His life. He's releasing into you His spirit and His life. And He's manifesting into you realities that your mind cannot understand as yet. But once He has released that inside of you, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, in Revelation, it will result in knowledge. It will result in the spontaneous word called prophecy. It will result in teaching. Are you with me? New thought flows will come into your heart. What is God doing? He is teaching you. What is the shepherd doing? He's bringing into you the knowledge that He wants to give you through His voice. He's leading you into a new realization of things. He's bringing you into realities that are consistent with the thinking of God. Obviously, it is a gradual process. So the word says here, line on line or precept upon precept. All right? But what He says is, He's telling you that this is a system that gives you repose. It gives you rest. You don't have to struggle with your, you know, so many people struggle because I'm not smart enough, you know, I can't understand very much. You don't have to struggle with all that. Now, I was teaching in a slum church somewhere in Bangalore. And this is what I told people who could barely read and write. I said, you can pray in tongues. You can take one verse in the Bible, memorize it and then pray it in tongues. And you will be amazed what God will release inside of you through that word. And that's how God will teach you things that you don't know. things that your own natural abilities cannot absorb. Are you listening? So all of us can learn, as long as we are not stubborn and stick to our own ways. So this is what God is saying: I will write my word into your heart. So this is what God is saying: I will write my word into your heart, and you will become my people. I will be your God, and you will come to know me. So you must allow God to do that work. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 14 and 15, it says, the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. So what is God trying to build inside of you? A witness. See, the word of God is meant to be a witness. Rhema is a witness. A witness alive in you by the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit in order to be able to function in this realm called Rhema. So that's why Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. So the witness inside of you, 1 John chapter 5 verse 8 says, it is a witness in spirit, water and blood. Right? Spirit has got a dual meaning. It means the Holy Spirit. It also means the Spirit of Christ. My words to you are spirit and life. That is the Spirit of Christ. But the Holy Spirit is the one who works that witness inside of you. So you need to understand this. What is God trying to do? He's trying to take the word of God and manifest it as a witness inside of you. What happens when it becomes a witness? You can live by it. You can function by it. So just take one word called love. If that one word called love is manifested in your witness, it will change your character, it will change your thinking, it will change your attitudes, it will change the way you speak, it will change the way you relate to people. It will transform your marriage, it will transform your children, it will transform everything around you because, right? How? Because of the witness. Once it becomes a witness, it is entirely communicable. Right? So that's why God said, the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. Your heart receives, your mouth releases. But by saying mouth first and then heart, God is telling you something very important. Right? Everything that He gives you must be communicated. That which you do not communicate, you don't know. In order to find out what God has put into your heart, you have to speak the word of God. When you speak the word of God, what are you doing? You're manifesting the witness. When you manifest this witness, what are you doing? You are functioning in the rhema realm of the word. And if you can understand that you function in this rhema realm, according to Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What is it saying? This is the law of life, to function by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. And it will set you free from the law of sin and death. It will transform you. But what is this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? It simply says, live in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. To live in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit is a living witness inside of you. It is an online witness. Amen? So today we are so impressed with supercomputers and all that. Brother, God has got a computer designed inside of you. A system, an operating system inside of you that is far more immense than any supercomputer anywhere in the world. To be in touch, be alive with the Most High God. Obviously, God has got a lot of things to teach us. Obviously, God has to do something inside of us, right? That is entirely beyond our intelligence. But this is what is so important, guys, right? This witness is an intimacy, right? This witness will only stand if it is built in an intimacy. If you don't love God, you will corrupt the witness. Right? So the law of life is this, right? Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Here he says, moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul in order that you may live. What is God saying? He's saying that God has to circumcise the human heart so that the human heart and the human soul will come to love God. Why? So that you will live. Because otherwise you will die. So in the New Testament, he takes that reality and he manifests it to you as a law of life. And he says, this is the law of life by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. So God circumcises your heart by the Holy Spirit, right? We studied that under the name of God called El Shaddai, correct? The Almighty God. He will circumcise your heart. Amen. He will circumcise your heart. We saw under the name Yahweh Yireh that God's intent is to manifest the fullness of Jesus Christ into each one of us. That God's provision is entirely inscribed in the Son. God's abiding provision. There are many things that God provides that are indeed transitory. The air you breathe, the water you drink, the food you eat, that's all in the transitory. But everything in the abiding is defined entirely in Christ Jesus. Everything in the abiding, everything that is eternal is defined in Christ Jesus. Right? So now we are talking about the circumcised heart unveiled in Christ Jesus, manifesting in you as a functional system. So the name of God that is tied to that is called Yahweh Rohai, the Lord God who is your shepherd. What is he going to lead you into? He's going to lead you into a functional witness that is alive in you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because this functional witness is in blood, water, and spirit. Right? So the shepherd is going to teach you how to function in this witness. Everything is going to take place in this witness. Praise the Lord. Amen. So next week when we look at this witness, we're going to look at it in the context of the Word, and we're going to look at examples of how powerful this witness can be once God takes the Word and energizes it inside of you. How powerful will be the realities that open to you. But today we need to understand that the good shepherd laid his life down for the sheep. Why did he lay his life down for the sheep? To tell them that he loved them unconditionally. That he has given them his blessed. Amen? And in that witness in which he has laid his life down for them, he says, I'm going to know you and you are going to know me because I know you. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, in that same manner are you going to come alive to me. Powerful words, isn't it? Amen. Let's look at another example. John chapter 17. Verse 22 and 23. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them. How do you like that? And he's praying for this even as he goes to the cross. He says, Father, the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. What kind of love is this? Do you realize that you can't comprehend it? Hello? You can read it and you can pretend to understand it, but really you don't understand what it means. Because why? Because you and I don't have such a nature. We would not do that for somebody else. You would not pay a price for somebody else and then say, Lord, the glory that you give me, I will give to that person. And because we don't do that kind of thing, we can't understand it. We can read it, the English words are there, but the actual reality of the meaning, we can't comprehend. We have to grow into it. So God has to perform that word inside of us. He's got to make it alive to us so that we appreciate how much Jesus loves us. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 23. And this is what it reads. I in them and thou in me. That they may be perfect in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them even as thou didst love me. How do you like that? That God loves you even as he loves Jesus Christ. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for you. Because what Jesus has chosen to give you. Because Jesus has chosen to give you His fullness, God can love you. Because the fullness of Jesus Christ is perfect. Are you with me? So when we deal with people who have got great weaknesses in their character, what is the solution in Christian ministry? Give them Jesus. Not sit down there and point to them how many wrongs they have done in their lives. If you start doing that, you will never stop writing. Right? Because the deeper you meditate on each wrong, the deeper you will find how many more facets of the wrongness there is. So what is the solution? The solution is to bring Jesus into their lives. So what is deliverance? Deliverance is receiving Jesus Christ. We can drive out demons, but if you don't receive Jesus, those demons will come back and they will haunt your life. Correct? Yes. So deliverance is not just driving out demons. Deliverance really manifests when it's fulfilled as you receive and realize Jesus Christ. What is salvation? Realizing Jesus Christ. You are saved as more and more of Jesus is manifested in you. Take out Jesus and the process of salvation evaporates into nothing. Right? So if you have a nature that is selfish and prideful and arrogant, what do you need as a solution? You need to look at Jesus and ask God to manifest Jesus inside of you. That's the only way you're going to give up your arrogance. That is the only way you're going to give up your lustful ways. That's the only way you're going to give up your prideful ways. That's the only way you're going to give up your self-righteous ways. It is not by trying to be good in yourself. It is by receiving and realizing Jesus. It is by living Jesus. Because if the Word of God does not come to you in the Spirit and life of Jesus, if it does not communicate to you in the Spirit and life of Jesus, it will not be the Word of God in the first place. It will not be able to change you. It will be just something you learn as a principle and you try and apply it. Yes, it works up to a point. It works. As far as you can exercise it, it works. That's all. But the points in which you cannot exercise it, that's it. It ends there. Yeah? Praise the Lord. So when God talks about the shepherd bringing you into a knowing, it is because the shepherd is going to work Jesus inside of you, work the character and nature of Jesus, work the faith and love of Jesus, work the thinking of Jesus, work the mind of Christ into you, work the spirit and life of Jesus into you, work the witness and testimony of Jesus into you, work the wisdom, knowledge and understanding of the heart of Jesus into you, work the courage and strength of the heart of Jesus into you, work the fear of the Lord that the Lord Jesus Christ had as a man before God into you. That's how you and I are going to change. That's how you and I are going to be different. Right? It is not by practicing the law. If you practice the law, the only way, only thing you will discover is that you are a sinner. If you really look at the law honestly, you will find that you don't practice it very well. Even those things you think you practice. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. You see, the solution to sin is you must come to a point where you have no desire for sin, that you actually hate sin. The only person who had such a character was Jesus Christ. He despised sin. He loved the sinner, but he despised sin. He had absolutely no desire to sin. Listening? So we have to let the shepherd work inside of us. And the shepherd works inside of us by bringing into us a witness that is entirely of himself. Amen? So we have done, this is the fourth covenant name of God. The first covenant name of God was Yahweh Elyon, the Most High God. That talked about position, right? Position in the mount of the Lord. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's position. So God is telling you, this is my intent with you. This is your destiny in me, to hold a position before me. And it's a secret place. It is a place that I have designed for you. You don't have to compete for it. It is your place. It is a place that will be overshadowed by the Almighty. In order to realize that, the Almighty God is going to circumcise your heart. Correct? He's going to circumcise your heart. He's going to make you His dwelling place. And He's going to bring you into the reality of sonship. Right? In order to bring you into all that, God has to provide you. He's got to provide you in His Son through His sacrifice. Because in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a release of a witness that the shepherd is going to bring into you, and He's going to mold it and shape it into you so that it becomes a living witness. It's going to become an entirely new functional system inside of you. It's going to become new life to you. And as you learn how to live in this witness, you will die to self. You will die to your fleshly ways. You will have, in fact, no desire to live that way. It'll slowly start dying. You will just see it come into your life. Step by step, day by day, you will see the world systems die to yourself. Your own free will despise them. And you will realize that God's done a work inside of you. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you are a covenant God, that it is your intent to manifest covenant inside each one of us. It is a covenant of a very deep and intimate reality, Father. It is a covenant, O God, of a knowledge of you, Father, that is going to be very personal to each one of us, Lord. In that covenant, you are defining, O God, your great love for us. In that covenant, you are enabling us to see the greatness of your blessings and your promises. You're also enabling us to see purpose, O God, destiny, Father. So Lord, as you work into us the things that you want us to receive and realize, work into us the fullness of Jesus Christ. Work into us a functional reality that will stand by the Holy Spirit, that will work by the Holy Spirit, so that we will work by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, so that we will live by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, so that we will be set free from the law of sin and death. So as you work this realization into us, Lord, we know that we will receive and realize the abundant voice of your words, Father. So we pray, release that voice into us, Lord, that we will be transformed. Let that voice of your word become a living and growing, multifaceted witness inside of us. And as you teach us your word, enable us to understand there is so much awaiting us, Lord, so much far beyond our intelligence, so much, O God, far beyond our human potentials, so much that is available to us in the Almighty and Most High God, who has chosen to be our provider and has chosen, O God, to shepherd us into that provision. Shepherd us, O God, into that position. We want to thank you and we want to bless you for all that you have begun in our lives. Bless the church, Father, across the world and in the heavenly places. Bless the church, both Jew and Gentile. Bless us, O God, that in this realization we will come to appreciate each other. That, Lord, we will begin, O God, to manifest the wonder of Jesus in our lives. That we will seek to see Him being manifested within us. We pray that this realization will come alive to us more and more with each passing day by the Holy Spirit, Father. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you for releasing the word into our hearts. We thank you for writing the word into our hearts. We thank you for energizing the knowledge of the living God into our inward parts. We want to thank you. We want to bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.